Our scripture today comes to us from Numbers 13, verses 1 through 2, and then I'm going to skip down and read verses 27 to 32a. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. For each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them." Now I'm going to skip up to 27. And they told him, "We came to the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of Negeb. The Hittites and the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are all well able to overcome it." And the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought up to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out. The word of the Lord.
Good morning. This is always, where's Pastor Dan? I'm getting emotional already. This is always a change of pace here for me. Usually when we just go to youth group, I just go down to the youth room, I sit down in a chair, put all my notes up, and we're ready to go. And here it's like you see more people, and there's more stuff to get ready. My wife's in the back playing with my lapel mic, and it's all messed up. I'm like, oh, not now, please. So it's all getting used to. But it is good to have you all here this morning. Thank you for being here today and for supporting our youth group. I want to thank everyone who came out yesterday for work day. They did a great job. If you noticed, all the mulch is out there, down, looks fantastic. We got done in record time, I think, so we appreciate everybody who came out to help with that day. I want to thank you for all the prayers and the cards. Here we go again. And all your words concerning my knee. The knee is good. It's a lot better, so I appreciate your thoughts and concerns. We praise God for that. I want to thank you for your prayers for the youth group that you always give to the kids. I can't say enough for the Super Bowl donations back in February, where our goal was 5,000 items, and you guys knocked it out of the park by putting over 6,000 items to take to City Mission. Just a real blessing, and we can't thank you enough for that and coming to our Super Bowl lunch as well. And as Josh said, we are selling Sarah's candies out in the lobby if you want to take some more chocolate home, and that will help for our mission trip to Kentucky this summer. Families, can't thank you enough. We want to thank you for ministering and partnering with us, for sending your kids to us each week. They are phenomenal kids, and we love them and cherish them. So thank you for having them come each and every week and every time we have something going on here within the youth ministry. Seniors, where are my seniors? I want my seniors to stand up. Don't be shy. I know you're here. There's one. I think there's two. Come on now. Where's the other two? I think we have at least two more here, I believe. Where's that? No, stand up, Lainey. You can't sit down. Stand up. What's that? Where's that? Oh, there's Amelia's in the back there. There we go. She was sat. There he goes, Amelia. Where did Aiden go? Oh, he's waiting to come in, huh? Anyway, he'll be up here pretty soon. Oh, stand up. We're not done yet. All right. We're going to be recognizing these seniors here on the last Sunday, May 31st, on Move Up Day, but I want to give them a round of applause. All right, now you can be seated. You're good. We were very blessed. I haven't been here for 5 minutes on my third round already. This is ridiculous. Man. Anyway, we're very blessed last summer to have Noah Tatum come aboard as our assistant ministry student director to help lead the junior highs. And I called him and I said, "Hey, Noah, are you able to put a design together for our youth group shirts this year?" And I thought he'd go on Amazon or do something. Well, here he did these designs himself, and I think they look fantastic. Where's Noah? So Noah's in the back. I want him to stand. Give him a round of applause. We are thankful for him. The leadership team. I cannot thank them enough. We have a group of leaders that come each and every week to spend time with these young people, to pour out their time and their energy and their love to these kids. They love them. They give of their time and effort. And I lean on them so much. I have the adult leadership team. We have some in the back also. Can you please stand up? And can we give them a round of applause, please? Thank you. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do come to you today and we pour out our praise to you. We thank you for everything that you have given to us. And God, as Josh prayed here earlier, we lift to you the people that have lost loved ones here, Mel and Galski's last weekend, and people within the last month or so, even maybe in the past few years, they're still struggling with a loss with a loved one. Pray, God, that you would be with them and continue to grant them peace and comfort. We pray for people, Lord, who are going with physical ailments, Lord, that have cancer or other things going on. We pray for healing upon their bodies, God, and we lift them to you. God, I thank you for these young people, for these young kids. They are a blessing and a joy. Continue to watch over them and be with them every step of the way, no matter where they go in their life. We give this service to you, and we put it before you, that you would be glorified and honored. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there was a young man by the name of Easton who was walking on a baseball field and was overheard talking to himself as he strutted through the baseball field wearing his baseball cap and toting a ball and bat.
I'm the greatest hitter in the world.
And then he tossed the ball into the air, swung, and missed.
Strike one.
He yelled. Undaunted and unfazed, he picked up the ball again.
I'm the greatest hitter in the world.
He tossed the ball in the air again, and when it came down, he swung and missed.
Strike two.
Easton then paused just for a moment to examine his bat and ball carefully. He spit on his hands, rubbed them together, straightened his cap, and said once more,
I'm the greatest hitter in the world.
Again, he tossed the ball up in the air and swung at it, and he missed.
Strike three. Wow. I must be the best pitcher in the world.
Good job, buddy. Well done. That's all about attitude right there. Our attitude determines how circumstances impact our life. As you can see right there, Easton's situation did not change, but his positive attitude prompted him to give an encouraging meaning to what had happened. In youth ministry, I'm constantly telling the students that to have a good attitude no matter what they're doing, because in all situations, it makes a big difference. And I had a chance to put that to the test last year on our mission trip as we were helping out City Mission. And so I think it was like the first night, And we were all in a room together, and we had planned on celebrating Ashley Grace's birthday because her birthday was that particular night. And so we thought we'd do something special for her, being that she's on a mission trip. So we had it planned out that we were going to have this ice cream cake. Oh, there's Aiden right there. Aiden, we clap for you, by the way. All right. So anyway, we had this big ice cream cake, and the plan was, talk to Noah. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do praise and worship. Probably do a little devotion, and at the end of the night, we'll do cake and together, because we don't want to have the cake there while the kids, you know, are listening to the devotion or worshiping, because it'll just take their mind off it. So we had it all etched in stone. It was planned out perfectly. And then I got a call from my beautiful wife, who was in charge of the ice cream cake. She goes, honey, we have a problem. I go, what's the problem? She says, well, I have the ice cream cake, but the door to the freezer is locked, and I can't get in, so I'm bringing it now. I go, what do you mean you're bringing it now? We don't have time for it now. We're about to worship. She's like, calm down. I'm like, no, you got to listen to what I'm saying here. We got a plan. The plan is we're gonna worship. Noah's in there ready to go with Elsa. They got the song picked out. We're ready to sing. We're going to do this devotion. She's like, honey, it's okay. No, it's not okay. You know, is there a way, possibly, you could bring the cake down and we'll just put it in the back and let it sit there? And she goes, seriously, it's an ice cream cake. I was spazzing out. She's like, honey, calm down. So I did what any youth director would do. I went back into the room, looked at all the kids, and I said, well, guys, one thing that's great about youth ministry is that we can be very flexible here. And my wife in the back, I'd hear her go, yeah, whatever. I totally failed miserably that night. Total fail. I'm going to ask you, along with me today, to be fast today. Not fast in the sense of how quick you can exit the sanctuary when this service is over. Not fast by heading downstairs to scarf down a bagel real quick before you head to class. Not fast by seeing how quick you can drive down 19 to get home for lunch. And finally, not fast by how quick you can get home so that some of you can pack to get ready to go down this Thursday to downtown Pittsburgh to be with 750,000 people for the NFL draft. But fast in the sense of trusting God wholeheartedly and with a positive attitude, no matter what the situation. So before we dive into our passage that Ian read this morning, I want to do a quick review of how we got here in Numbers chapter 13. So after 400 years of slavery in Egypt, God's people are being led out by Moses into freedom, into the promised land that God has promised them. And on their way, God parts the Red Sea while escaping Pharaoh's chariots. God gives them the Ten Commandments, gives them manna and quail are falling from the sky. Life is good. So naturally, people are still complaining. And that takes us into Numbers chapter 13, as the Israelites are on their way to the promised land that God has given to them. And so we're actually going to be covering Numbers 13 and part of Numbers 14 today. We probably would be here till Thursday, up until the draft, if I were to go over each verse. But I'm going to read certain verses and then paraphrase others along the way. Starting in Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 to 2. Says, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So here you have God telling Moses, I want you to send 12 men, one from each tribe, to go explore this land that I am giving to them. And it even says it right there in plain English in verse 2, which I am giving to the Israelites. So you have 12 men, one from each tribe, on their way to go check out this land. And here's what their job is. This is their mission. They are to check out the land to see, is it good or is it bad? What about the people? Are they strong? Are they weak? And by the way, figure out how many there are in the process. The towns, are there walls or are there no walls? What about the soil? Is the soil good? Is it bad? And by the way, are there trees on the property? And while you're there, before you come back, don't come back empty-handed. Bring some fruit with you along the way. And so they are to check this out. That is their mission. Now, I want to remind you, as we go through this passage, the mission is not about if they should go. It's not about if they should go. Hey, go check it out, and maybe we'll go in there. Remember, the Lord said, it is the land I am giving to the Israelites. This is a mission to get a sneak peek of the land that the Lord is giving to them. And so, after 40 days, the men, they go check out the land, and they come back with fruit and a report that they just had seen. And this is what they say as we look at verses now, chapter 13, verses 27 through 28. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Now, in this passage, a lot of people think, wow, is this really a land that there's milk coming out everywhere and honey and whatnot? This is just the phrase to say this land is plentiful. It is good. God has given them a good land that has lots of good things in it. So it is filled with flow of milk and honey. Here is its fruit. And then the key word I always tell the youth group, and it might say in some of your Bibles, however, small word, but goes a long way. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Enoch there. You know, it's one of those things where you're around a bunch of friends and things seem to be going really well, and you want to hear a story, and they're like, yeah, everything is great. And then someone says, oh, but, and kind of puts an air in the bubble there and knocks the air and having a positive attitude. So here's what they do is they come back and they say, hey, everything looks great. It looks very promising. However, there are these people there who are very powerful, and they look like giants. There's a man's name there who says it is Enoch. And Enoch, just to do some research I had from him, he was a man who came from a race who were described as giants. And they were linked to another group called the Nephilim, who we're going to see down in verse 33 as well, who were also giants in that land as well. And so they were noted for their size and strength. And it says that Enoch also had three sons who were very big. They were giants and they were strong. And so this is what the men, when they went there, this is what they saw. They saw these big giants in front of them. And it says later on down the road that we looked like grasshoppers to them, looked very small. And the city itself was fortified and large. And not to mention there's all these ites that are living out in the land around us. And they are letting their fears take over what God has promised from the very beginning. But sometimes when you have a bunch of people that are going against the grain, it just takes one or two to stand up, to do what's right, and to show courage and turn the tide. And so enter Caleb. Caleb, and we'll soon see Joshua in just a minute. And in verse 30, it says that then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. We can certainly do it. You know, Caleb reminds me of a captain of a sports team, you know, who stands up amidst dissension, you know, where the other team is like, man, we can't do this. You know, they're too big. There's no way we can overcome them. But Caleb, in the midst of all this, stands up and says, hold on a sec. We can do this. We can do this. We can certainly do it. And so he stands up in the midst of all this, and he remembers what God told Moses back in verse 2 about giving the Israelites the land, along with everything that God has done for them to this point. You could say that Caleb has a faith that is steadfast and immovable. He is urging the people to be strong and courageous. Do not let your fears overcome your faith. Focus on God, not the obstacles or the giants that are in front of you. God is with us. What is faith? Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1 says that it is what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And so that's the first word here in Are You Fast with faith. It is a faith. The first part is having a strong faith. It ranks at the top of God's priorities. It is difficult to please him without it. Faith highlights God where unbelief highlights the giants in our life. A lot of times we focus on our limitations instead of God's potential. We magnify the obstacles, and we minimize God's promises. I come to you today, friends, to tell you, along with the youth group, that God is bigger than any obstacle you are facing right now. Don't look at the size of your giants. Look at the size of our God. Don't look at the size of your giants. Look at the size of our God. I'm going to read Numbers chapter 13, 31 to 32, and then chapter 14, 1 to 4. So picking up in 31. After Caleb is very positive, and he says, we can certainly go in. There's that word again. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. They're the descendants of Enoch that we talked about earlier. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. And chapter 14, verse 1 says, that night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Now, I've always been amazed at how the people continually complained all that time since they came out of Egypt, because they were treated so horribly as slaves. And when things didn't turn out their way, it was like, well, hey, let's go back. We had it better back then, even though God was watching over them the entire time. But you know what? Isn't that the human side of us, all of us? We want God to handle things the way we want in our time. But friends, that's not how God works. That's not how he works. It would have been really easy for Caleb, and we'll soon see Joshua, to join in with the rest of the group and go along with everybody else just to avoid confrontation. Hey, yeah, you know what? They're pretty big over there. I don't want to get involved in this. But they don't. Instead, they have a godly faith and a positive attitude that means doing the right thing even if you're the only one. Caleb and Joshua show a positive attitude in this situation, whereas the people begin to grumble and complain. It says in Philippians 2, our attitudes should be like Christ, humble and obedient. Do all things without complaining or arguing. Pastor Jack has been going through a series in 2 Corinthians with us, and a few weeks ago, he talked about the aroma of Christ. The aroma of Christ. That's what we are supposed to have. As Christians, we should have a fragrance that is sweet-smelling and attractive to all that we come across. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And that's our second word in being fast. It is having a good attitude in the midst of circumstances, no matter what they are. I want to give you a story. Look, I'm breaking down already. Might be a tough one here. It's from the book called When God Doesn't Make Sense by Dr. James Dobson. And he tells a story here of Dr. Tony Campolo, who was a professor at Eastern University, I believe, and a well-known speaker who would travel the country and give lots of seminars. And Dr. Campolo said that he was at a conference with a bunch of middle school kids, and there was a young man by the name of Jerry who had been afflicted with cerebral palsy. Jerry walked and talked with great difficulty. And on that day, Dr. Campolo said he was rejected by a lot of junior highs that were there. In this group, he noticed that there was always a group of good-looking guys and cute girls, and they were too far sophisticated and selfish to mess around with a cripple and a loser like Jerry. He says the popular kids mocked the way that Jerry walked and talked, and they would always imitate him in a very negative and brutal way. They would all laugh hysterically as though Jerry were deaf. At other times, they avoided him like a plague. Dr. Campolo said he has never hated anyone in his entire life, but he came close to it in that instance. And seeing what those insensitive and cruel teenagers were doing to the spirit or attitude of one who had already suffered more than his share. So on the final morning of camp, they had a church service during which a lot of the students were to come forward and give their testimonies. And so you had a lot of the athletes and the cheerleaders and all the popular kids come forward to give their testimonies. But they were just canned speeches, very empty. I'm going to read the passage here of what followed after. As Dr. Campolo sat on the platform, he was startled to see Jerry. Making his way down the aisle from the back of the auditorium. The other students saw him too, and they began to whisper and point.
And then a ripple of laughter passed over the crowd. Ever so slowly, Jerry came to the platform and then carefully and painfully climbed the three stairs at the side. Finally, he reached the microphone. He stood for a moment, looked at his peers, and then said with great effort, "I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me." And then Jerry turned to make his journey back to his seat. Campolo said Jerry's simple testimony went through that crowd of teenagers like a bolt of lightning. His expression of love for God, despite the physical disability and the ridicule he had taken, exposed the sin and selfishness in their lives. Next thing you know, all the students began streaming into the aisles and down to a place of prayer at the front. The Lord had used the least capable spokesman among all those teenagers to accomplish his purposes. Why? Because Jerry was tough enough to be his vessel. Jerry's attitude and faith was tough enough to be God's vessel, just like Caleb and Joshua's attitudes and faith were tough in the midst of the Israelite camp. Jerry didn't fight back. He simply shared the gospel in seven simple words. What a faith. What a faith and what an attitude. Our outlook on things affects outcomes because our attitude makes a difference. No matter our situation, be positive. See the good in others. Rejoice with others. And praise God for all that he has given each and every one of us. Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Christians are to be positive people. We have every right to be. We should be. We should be positive because of what Christ has done for us. And we should have that spirit, just like Jerry's, that can rub off onto other people. As we move on here to Numbers chapter 14, verses 5 through 6, after the people sent, they were grumbling against Moses and Aaron and against everyone else. It says in verse 5, "Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua and Caleb, who were among those who were there who explored the land, tore their clothes." I love this part about Caleb and Joshua. If you'll notice, there is no blame game going on here. I think any of us would have said, well, Caleb and Joshua had every right in their right and human eyes to complain and point to the others and saying, "Wait a sec, what did we do? We did all the right stuff. What did we do? It's not our fault," which is what we can do very easily as humans. However, going back to good team captains, they knew that this would have to put their attitude in the same boat as everybody else's. And they knew this just wasn't about them, but about the entire nation of Israel's sin against God, their people. They recognize this and tear their clothes as a sign of repentance. Friends, and we tell this to the youth group all the time, sin is a big deal, and it's what separates us from God. We need to humble ourselves, search our hearts, confess our sins at the foot of the cross, and submit to the Lord God Almighty. 2 weeks ago at Easter, we talked about what Christ did for us. He paid the price for our sin on the cross. And we need to repent and not make excuses and accept his gift of grace today. And that's our third word in our acronym of Are You Fast? It is submit. Hebrews 3, 12 through 13 states that we should not have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage each other so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, which is misrepresenting the truth. And that's what happened to a lot of the Israelites at that time. They let their hearts be hardened by pride, by fear, and contempt for the Lord. Instead of Caleb and Joshua getting in an argument with the others, they try to encourage the people to stop sinning and trust God. And that takes us to our final point. In Numbers 14, 7 through 9, after they had tore their clothes, this is Caleb and Joshua. They look at the people and they say this, The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. Not just a little good. You know, not just like, hey, 75%, it's all right, we should do it. It is exceedingly good. Back in verse 2, God promised us this land because it is awesome. It is exceedingly good. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. But here's that but, or that however moment. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Friends, faith and trust go hand in hand. Caleb and Joshua are basically telling the people that God will give them the land, but you have got to believe in him with 100% of your life, with a faith that is unending and does not waver. Do not go against him. Have a good attitude. Quit whining and complaining. Trust him with your entire being, and if you do all this, the Lord will be pleased with us, and he will give the land to us. There once was a young man by the name of Aiden who was walking along a steep cliff one day when he got too close to the edge and fell. On the way down, he grabbed the branch and temporarily stopped his fall. He looked down, and to his horror, there was a canyon that was straight down for more than 1,000 feet. Just pretend and go with it. He held onto the branch forever, and there was no way for him to climb up to the hill of the cliff. So he began yelling for help, hoping that someone passing by would be there to lower a rope or something.
Help! Help! Is anybody up there?
He yelled for hours, but no one heard him. He was about to give up when he heard a voice.
Aiden, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm down here.
I see you, Aiden. Are you all right?
Well, where are you? Who are you?
I am the Lord, Aiden. I am everywhere.
Lord? You mean God?
Yes, me.
Well, God, please help me. Get me down from here. I promise. I'll stop sinning. I'll be good. I'll serve you for the rest of my life.
Easy on the promises now, Aiden. Let's just get you down from there. Then we can talk. Now, here's what I want you to do. Listen carefully.
Okay, I'll do anything. Just help me.
Okay. Let go of the branch.
What?
I said, let go of the branch. Just trust me and let go.
There was a long silence. And then finally, Aiden yelled,
help! Help! Is anybody else up there?
Have you ever felt like Aiden? We want to know God's will and trust him completely, but when we find out, it's hard for us to handle. It sounds scary and difficult, so we place our trust elsewhere. God knows what's best for us, and he will always be there, even when we think he's not. God wants you to let go of the things that stand between you and him and trust him with your entire life. Philippians 4:6 tells us to be anxious for nothing, because when we become anxious, we believe that God is not in control. Let go. Let go and let God, and find freedom and safety in his hands. I just have one more story for you. It was about a man by the name of Blondin, who was a circus performer, and he was a guy who would take a wheelbarrow and take out a long steel cable across Niagara Falls. During high winds and without a net below, he walked, ran, and even danced across the tightrope to the delight of the large crowd who watched. He took a wheelbarrow full of bricks and amazed the crowd by effortlessly across the cable from one side of the falls to the other, and he turned to the crowd and asked, how many of you believe that I can push a man across the wire in the wheelbarrow? The vote was unanimous. Everyone cheered and held their hands high. They all believed he could do it. And then Blondin asked, would one of you please volunteer to be that man or woman? As quickly as the hands went up, they went back down. Not a single person would ever volunteer to ride in the wheelbarrow and to trust his life to Blondin. Friends, are you willing to demonstrate your belief by trusting your life to Jesus Christ? Not just a little bit, but wholeheartedly. Are you willing to get in the wheelbarrow and risk everything on your faith? That's what it means to believe. It requires us to depend on him to keep his promises, even when proof is not provided. It is continuing to believe, even when the evidence points in the opposite direction. It is getting in that wheelbarrow and making the journey across the falls. And that's our fourth letter of Are You Fast? Our fourth word, trust. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, and in everything, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with everything you've got, not just a little bit, but with everything. Believing and trusting involves a total commitment. It is not halfway. It is hanging tough when evidence would have us bail out. It is determining to trust him when he has not answered all the questions or even assured us a pain-free passage. And so, friends, here's my question to you today. What giants are you facing in your life today? Some of you might be worrying about your finances. Some of you might be worrying about your own health or health of family or friends in your life. Parents, we worry about our kids all the time, don't we? We want the best for them. We live in a world that is so upside down right now, that is giving them false things, not the truth or not the word of God. I'm learning a good thing from Andy Cabucci right now. When I lose my place, to hang in there and be patient. There's so many things as adults that I probably could go through that I'm missing. Students, we talk all the time, you know, what's a big giant in your life? And I think one of the things you would say is school. Schooling can be very hard. Tests, homework. PSSAs. For those going to college, I mentioned four here this morning, you know, the nervousness of going to college, the purpose for the rest of my life. There are a lot of giants that are right there for each and every one of us. What does the future hold for each one? God says this. He says to be obedient, because that's his love language. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me with your entire being. Trust me with your highs and lows and everything in between. Jeremiah 17:8 says that blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Friends, I want you here today to have deep roots in your faith in Jesus Christ and trust him no matter what giants in your life may come. You can be assured that God will see you through because he has plans to give you a hope and a future and help you prosper as he did with Caleb and Joshua. And because of Joshua and Caleb's strong faith, positive attitude, a repentant heart, and a trust in God that was solid, they were the only two out of the 12 who were sent on the mission to enter the promised land. You can read the rest of the account of what happens in this passage here, but over in chapter 14 and verses 36 to 37, it says, the men who returned, who complained and spread a bad rumor about their trip, it says that they were struck down and they died of a plague before the Lord. Of the only men who went to explore the land, only Joshua and Caleb survived. God rewarded them for their faithfulness and their trust. Fight the good fight. Finish the course. Persevere to the end. And trust in the Lord while keeping the faith with a good attitude.
I'd like to call the youth group students up here to go on either side of me right now. Read you several scripture passages about our attitudes towards the Lord and trusting in Him. Whatever giants you may be feeling in your life right now, I want you to just be still. And whatever it may be, as you sit in your seats and listen to the words of God that these students have to read from Scripture.
Philippians 2, verses 3 to 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others.
Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantages. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at every name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. Do everything without arguing or grumbling, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then ye will shine them like stars in the sky.
Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of such things.
Colossians 3:12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect union.
In you, for you, Lord, you have never forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him.
Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods.
Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge.
Psalm 78:7. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments.
Psalms 91, verses 1 through 2. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
Psalm 112:7. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Isaiah 12:2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation.
Psalm 143:8. Let the morning bring me word.
Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to tell, test, and approve what God's pleasing and perfect will is. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight.
Friends, thank you for being here today and being a constant support and prayers for our young people. And as you leave here today, remember, be fast. Develop a faith that is steadfast and immovable. Have a positive attitude in all situations. And when you fall short, submit to the Lord and accept his grace. And finally, trust in the Lord with all your heart and in all your ways. And if you do that, he will carry you through. Amen. God bless.